This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Philmo Mike is on the line. Philmo, what's up?
Yo, what's popping, Willard? Willard,
what?
Do you get that a lot, that people say you know it all?
Oh, of course.
Could you mention that? Could you always be like, I'll say if I know it all. But I'm going to keep it real. I used to think that. But you do know a lot. So I give you kudos to that.
But there's also a lot
and
that I don't. There's also a lot that I don't know, Philmo.
I know.
Yeah.
You can't know everything.
Yeah,
you ain't
right?
That good, bro.
Yeah, well,
come on, man.
I don't want to know everything. My God. It's not like I'm not trying to get on Jeopardy or something.
Nah. Bills is on Wheel of Fortune.
That's true. I'm jealous of that.
Yeah. Three bankrupts, Philmo Mike, in case you ever see the episode. Spoiler alert, the wheel got me, but I got my jokes in now.
Oh, I love it. And you know what I love? Y'all keep doing the little the Herm Edwards. Y'all been doing that for like 3 days. I love it. You got to get it right now. Got to get it right.
That's a damn four, Philmo. It becomes addicting. You know, I started doing it, and then Mark started doing it.
You listen up. You might hit it again now.
I don't know. Stop doing it.
I'm trying to let you know now. Anyway, the urgency, the last time I felt the urgency was probably We Believe. If you remember, I always tell this to Steiny, Don Nelson in Chicago, he declared defeat for the season. He was like, man, that's the last time I felt the real urgency, because a lot of times you feel it, but it's not really there because you don't really feel like it's a chance. But maybe it was different because back then I didn't really feel like it was a chance, and they turned it out, so I feel differently about it. So that's the last time I really felt urgency. But I just wanted to talk about the names that you guys were talking about as far as college basketball. You guys said Darren Collison. When did he just stop playing basketball in the NBA? It's crazy. The guy from Oregon, Diz, I know you remember his name, Donnell Harvey.
Yeah.
From Florida. And Steve Logan, he was like the first, he was like a Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf from Cincinnati. And you know who don't get enough love? Revan Knight and Arthur Lee.
Wow.
Do not get enough love when it comes to college basketball in the Bay Area, because they was going crazy, and it was only like 5'7" and 6'1" as a backcourt. They were balling. I just want to let people know, man, if you have any chance, they need a documentary on them too, because they was going crazy right before Jacobson came and the Twins came. But for real, man, I love y'all show. Keep doing your thing. Don't forget to watch that back.
Thank you, Philmo.
Philmo.
Always.
Yep, love that.
Can't reach the majority of my back, but I got a scrub brush that I have to go to because flexibility is at an all-time low. It gets tough now.
You know, that's just that it's the great beyond. Nobody really knows what's going on back there.
Right.
I mean, you could act somebody. You could try to look in the mirror. Oh, or you could just do the ignorance is bliss thing.
Dude.
What's going on in the middle of your back? I don't know.
No idea.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There could be something awful back there. I don't know about it. Got to tell somebody if you see something.
No doubt. I mean,
no, tell somebody
see
now.
See something and say something.
see red, say no. See hair, say no. Kyle in Walnut Creek. Hi, Kyle. What are you doing?
Will or Dibs, how you guys doing? Happy Friday to you.
Yeah, yep. You too.
Hey guys, I think the sense of urgency is big. Right now for two reasons. One, obviously, having Jimmy Butler, we know that it's more of a complete team, and obviously we have a pretty, I wouldn't say easy schedule, but a schedule that, like you guys were talking about earlier, we should win a lot, a good amount of these games coming up. But more importantly, if we are able to win these games, knowing that Kuminga is coming back, that's going to be two guys that you can count on to try to get to the free throw line, stabilize those games when we're playing tougher opponents. And it really just brings out a more complete team. So, like, the excitement of trying to get these games now to build a little bit of a cushion for the play-in or hopefully a playoff spot, but also knowing on the back end that Kuminga's coming back too. And if we, on the next, four or five games, just what that could look like as a roster, it's exciting. And I think that's also adding to the sense of urgency. Like, look, we got Kuminga coming back. If we can win these games, like, that just brings even more excitement to the team and hopefully for the hopes to get to the playoffs. So I think it's like it's twofold. It's obviously because we want to play with the current roster we have now and make the playoffs, but also knowing that Kuminga's coming back too, that adds a whole other level of urgency and excitement to this whole scenario.
Kyle, you know what I think you're getting at there, and it's a good call. Thank you very much for adding to our show. This is kind of how I feel about it. When you look at the urgency or the excitement, whatever word you want to use for right now, compare it to at any point during the last 2 years, do you want to know what I think it really is? This is the first time in the last 2 years that a rational human being can think that the Warriors might actually have something special. Like, 2 years ago, actually, it was a good team that could compete at a high level, but there was such a cloud hanging over their head.
Right.
Couldn't win a road game. You could tell that they hated each other, at least some of them. And so, such a cloud hanging over their head. Last year, let's be real. Be real. If you wanted to say that you thought the Warriors had to do something special, you had to force it and fake it to say it. Because you knew in your heart of hearts, no, they couldn't. I mean, a playing team that got blown off of the floor in their one game in Sacramento. So I don't know where this season's going to go, but this is the first time in a while that I feel like a rational sports opinion is to look at what's going on and go, huh, this might lead somewhere. Don't know where yet, but Jimmy looks like he fits. Jonathan's still coming. Don't know what's going to go on there, but maybe. Maybe.
I get your point.
Maybe something's about to happen.
I think you're selling 2 years ago short because that team was flawed in many ways, and the way it started was something that we had never seen before, and with a punch and all the rest of it. But you did go up against Sacramento and you beat them in seven, and then you took on a Laker team, and you were very much in that series. And if it wasn't for Lonnie Walker IV and a miracle run in a game, you might have been able to win that series. So it wasn't that they were going to win a championship, but that run, while a broken squad, I think it was better than maybe how you remember it. And then last year, and this is where I want to caution people about, we're going to rock it up to the sixth seed.
Yeah.
Last year, you were the 10, and you ended the year on a 10-2 run, and you were still the 10. So moving up in the NBA is not as easy as just, we're going to go out there and win our games, and then we're going to move up. You went from 10-10 last year, even though you wrapped up the year on a 10-2 run.
Yeah, no.
It's tough to move up.
It's very, very difficult to move up because those other teams are going to start playing with that same urgency, and then you've got tanking teams that you're going up against and all of that. The only thing I'm confident in this moment is who the 10 teams are going to be. That I'm confident in. I think you can get rid of the Suns, you can get rid of the Spurs. It's not happening. Those 10 teams that you see in the spots right now, those are going to be the 10 teams. Can the Warriors be something other than 9 or 10? And then continue to kind of push that that optimism. I tell you what, might be the most optimism you feel in a while as a Giants fan if you sit down and take a listen to their new fancy, long-term, and high-priced, and very good shortstop, because Willy Adames joined us earlier in the show, and the conversation was fantastic. He is very, very impressive. And we began that conversation by simply asking, hey, what's going on out there with your start in Scottsdale?
Hey, guys. All good, man. Just happy to be here with you guys. Thank you for having me here. How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic, man. You're a breath of fresh air on so many levels, and we haven't even seen you play baseball yet, but I wonder if you could just share with our audience your first impressions of what is, at least at the big league level, this is your third franchise. What are you noticing at this point in your career that maybe is different about being a Giant?
There's just so much history here. I feel like, you know, to put this Giant uniform on, it's just like, you know, that you're representing something great, you know, something bigger than we as, you know, as a player. It's more, you know, it's a lot of history here. You know, the city of San Francisco, they embrace the Giant in a huge way. And I think, you know, there's a difference there when you put this uniform. It's just like some, it's a different feeling. So, like, you know, I'm very excited to take the field and, you know, just to be there in San Francisco for many years. And hopefully we can accomplish the goal. Not one time, but, like, hopefully a few times.
Oh, yeah, we're counting on a few times, Willie, and that'd be cool. I mean, if we could get more than one. And I want to ask you about the free agent process because, you know, you had your choice to go out there and your pick of the litter, and you met with Buster Posey, a guy who actually did do it more than once. He actually got three of them done here in the city. What was it about Buster, this team, this franchise, that made you so attracted to it?
I think it was mainly Buster, you know, because I mean, when you have a guy like Buster running an organization, you know that he knows what it takes to win, you know. He did it, like you say, multiple times, and him leading the organization is like what made me be like, okay, if I have a guy like Puzzy running the team, like, I want to be part of whatever he's going to build there because I know he's going to bring the right pieces. He's going to build something great because he's a winner, so he's going to do whatever it takes to win. And I wanted to be part of that, and I think that was the main conversation when we started to talk during the off season. And I, you know, when I was talking to him, I asked him, I said, like, what are your plans? Or like, what are your plans to do in San Francisco? It's like to keep winning. You know, like, I'm a winner. I'm gonna do whatever it takes to win. And I was like, man, like, if your plan is to build something great, like, sign me up. I want to be part of that.
Willie Adames with us here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Willie, does leadership come naturally to you?
I think so, man. I mean, I've never been like, oh, I want to be the leader of a team. You know what I mean? Like, I just, you know, I just go out there and compete every day. I handle my business. I work the right way, and, you know, and I try to help my teammates. And I guess, you know, I guess if you call that leadership, then that's who I am. And I feel like, when you're forced to do something, it's not who you are. So, like, because you're forcing it. So, for me, like, I don't try to force anything. I just try to let everything be and obviously lead by example and do the work the right way. And I think that's because I do work like that. That's why people think that they think that I'm a leader.
Yeah, and the reason I ask, and I'm not trying to make you blush here because I've never met you, but man, people around the game cannot stop talking about what a great dude you are and what a presence you are in the locker room. So my question is, how do you go about sort of taking that leadership role when you're also the new guy?
I mean, it's easier when you have guys like Choppy and Webby and Logan and, you know, and Robbie Ray, Verlander. Like, a lot of the young guys, from what I've seen so far, like, you know, they work hard and they have an ethic. So, like, it's easier to come to an environment like that and just, like, try to fill in and, you know, fit. And I feel like, you know, like, just being around Choppy and Webby so far has been, it's been easy to communicate with them and, like, just to try to, you know, see what they're thinking and what they've done the last few years here and how they run things here. You know, obviously, we're trying to build a culture of, like, you know, winning and obviously hard working. So, like, I think the connection is there. And for me, like, when you have guys like that that are, like, in the same page as you, it's, like, it's easy to come in and just be yourself.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about Chappie and Willie now on the left side. And, you know, Chappie last year played in 150-something games, and I'm looking at your numbers, and you played in 161. And I want to ask you what happened for that one game because nobody plays all the games. But how much are you looking forward to the Chappie and Willie show on the left side literally every game?
I mean, I'm really excited for that. We already, you know, talk about it. We say we wanted to play 162. Obviously, but for me last year, like, that was my goal. You know, I wanted to play 162, but, you know, they were, like, bugging me for, like, you know, to take an off day since, like,
June. And I was like, man, like, you know, I was like having a lot of conversations with the manager. And I was like, I don't want to take no day off, you know, like I'm here to play every day. Like I want to be out there every day. And it was like some hard conversations sometimes. And I was like, and then like, I think around like September, like mid August, September almost, I told Murphy, my former manager, I told him, I say, look, I'm going to give you the day off after we clinch the division. So like after we clinch the division, then the next day he was like, we were celebrating. He was like, so what are you going to do tomorrow? Are you going to play or what? And I was like, well, I already gave you my word, but if you want me to play, I play. He was like, no, you crazy, you off tomorrow. And that's why I played 161 last year. But this year is a different story. Chappie and I, we want to play 162, so we're going to be out there competing every day.
Even after you clinch,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we got to do it, man. We got to continue to be, you know, to get ready for the postseason after that.
Well, you know what? I mean, that leads to a question, Willie. I know you feel this. Like, the fan bases around baseball are looking at this going like, well, no one's competing with the Dodgers. But I know you're a competitor. I bet you guys look at it very differently. How do you view what's going on in the National League West?
I mean, there's obviously, this is, from my point of view, this is the hardest division in baseball right now. But, you know, like, I want to say, like, the thing that we have in the clubhouse is just, like, we have to play the right baseball. You have to play small ball, take advantage of every opportunity that we can take. And just, like, you know, try to beat ourselves, not trying to worry about, like, you know, all the Dodgers or, like, San Diego or the D-backs, whatever. We got to focus on winning tonight, you know, have that mentality of like worrying about today, then we worry about tomorrow, the next day. But we have to, you know, take care of business today, and then we worry about the future in the future. So I think the mentality for this year is just like, let's play today, let's be present, let's try to take care of business today, and then we worry about tomorrow. So I think for me, that's the right mentality to have, because it's going to be a tough year, but, you know, we're competitive. We're going to be out there. And just competing and try to win the division.
Yeah, and you talk about competing, and if it's, you know, you and Chappie on the left side and a pitching staff of Webby and Verlander and Harrison and Robbie Ray, does that give you a sense of an edge that maybe other teams don't have with the pitching and the defense?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when you have a really good defense and a pitching staff that, like the one we have, I think that gives you an advantage, you know, when you have those two combined. And then, you know, we got, it's, you know, our lineup is really good too. We have a lot of young players that are really talented. And when you combine those three things, I think, you know, we could do something special that nobody's expecting us to do. So, like, I think the expectation for us is just, you know, no expectation, you know, just go out there and compete and let it be.
Willie Adames is joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Willie, why did you wear 27 in Milwaukee, and why are you wearing number 2 here in San Francisco?
So in Milwaukee, Carlos Gomez, he was number 27 there. So when I got traded there, he was like, he wanted me to wear number 27 because of him. He's like, we're from the same town in the Dominican. He's like a big brother to me. I'm actually going to meet with him now. He's coming to my house. But he wanted me to wear number 27, and the club either in Milwaukee, he's like, I think it would match, because the fans in Milwaukee love Carlos because he had a lot of energy. He always played hard, whatever. And they thought that would match me. And I was, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. Because like in Tampa, when Carlos signed with Tampa in 2018, I was going to wear number 27. I had it because that was my second year on the 40-man roster. So I was number 27, and he asked me if I could give it to him in Tampa. So I gave him number 27. And then when I got traded to Milwaukee, he was like, you should wear number 27 because, you know, I took it from you in Tampa, and I think it would be a really cool story if you wear it here in Milwaukee now, because, you know, it would kind of like match what I did in Milwaukee. In terms of personality-wise and, like, you know, fans, like, loving Carlos, the way he played with a lot of energy. And that's why that's the reason why I wore number 27 in Milwaukee. And now here, I'm wearing number 2 because my idol, Derek Jeter, was number 2, and that's also my favorite number.
Nice. And 27 is occupied forever by Juan Marichal, so that wouldn't actually be available. But I love the fact that you're wearing number two. And I can't help but wonder about you coming here to Oracle Park and thinking about how you've done here, because I was looking at some of your numbers, and it looks like, Willie, you've been pretty comfortable here as a hitter. Are you at all daunted or intimidated by this gigantic ballpark you're coming to?
Not really, man. Not really. I really don't worry about, like, ballparks. Because I'm like, you know, if I see the ball good, I'm good. You know, like, I don't care if it's big or not. Like, if it's big, just hit a lot of doubles, you know, like, hit a lot of triples, you know, score a lot of runs. And then, you know, don't worry about the homers. Whenever they go out, they go out. But I feel the main thing for me is just, like, feeling comfortable at a stadium. Not about, like, okay, I could hit, like, 40 homers here. Like, I don't worry about that. If that happens, it would be great. It would be amazing. But, like, we're not worried about stuff like that. At least myself, I'm not worried about that stuff.
Willie, obviously you've met with the media. Now you're in Arizona. So I don't know to what level you've gotten a sense of the fan base in San Francisco yet. But this group has really been looking for a star for a few years now. They're really thirsty for that. And so I wonder how that lands with you, especially because of the contract, the stats, the name value. Everyone's really hoping that you're going to be it. So how does that feel? How do you receive that?
I think that's amazing. That's like a motivation for me, you know, just to like, just to show them like my personality, my talent, obviously on the field. Like, I just want them to embrace me how I'm going to embrace them. And obviously, you know, I want them to expect from me just being out there every day, giving my 100%, you know, like if I become a superstar there, it'd be great. But I want them to expect from me just going out there, playing hard every day and trying to win some ball games. Right. And also hopefully accomplish the goal, which is win a few championships.
And I think that fans out here are already so excited about you joining and Jung-Hoo Lee coming back and, of course, Webby being here and Verlander and Chappie and Bailey and all the rest of it. I don't know if you know this, but the last Giant to hit 30 home runs in a season was Barry Bonds. And you're coming off a year where you hit more than 30. So can you break the streak for us, Willie? Can you get us 30 home runs?
That's the goal. That's the goal. That's what we want. Hopefully it's not just me, but like hopefully we got Ramos, Chappie, and some of the guys that could, I think they could do that too. So it'd be really special if it's not just me, but it would be like a few of us. So like that's one of the goals for this year. So hopefully we can, you know, achieve that. I mean, we're gonna try and obviously be there competing, but I want not just me, but a few of the guys.
Willie, I got a few fun ones with you before we let you go. First of all, how is Logan Webb's self-esteem after you took him way over the fence the other day?
Man, nah, he's okay. He's okay. He knows now that he doesn't have to worry about it during the regular season. So he knows in live EPs that doesn't count. So he's good.
Okay.
He's in a good position.
All right. That's good. That's a relief. That's a relief, Willie. Okay. And then after your years in Milwaukee, I need to ask you, when the sausage race was happening, who did you root for? The brat, the chorizo, the hot dog, the Italian, or the Polish?
So I was like, you know, in between of the Italian and the hot dog. You know, it was just like, let me see what I'm feeling today. Or I either go to the hot dog or the Italian. So like it was one or the other. But like those two were like my favorite.
Those are your favorites. Okay. Did you know that the Italian sausage right now, it won the most races last year, Willie?
Wow. Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was there for every game. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Italian, then Polish, then hot dog. Those were the top three last year.
Okay, good. So that I have won the first place.
Exactly. and then while we're on food, what is your absolute favorite meal? If someone said, "Hey, it's your birthday, what do you want tonight? What are we doing?"
Well, then it would be my mom's food, man. Like, she make a Dominican dish. We call it pastelón. It's like sweet plantain smashed, right, with ground meat
and then smash plantains again, then a lot of cheese on top. So it's kind of like a lasagna, but like with plantains. It'll be that with like chicken and like rice with corn.
You had me at a lot of cheese on top.
Exactly.
<I know. laughs>
Yeah. Has anyone talked to you about food in San Francisco? Very different vibe than what you're describing, but also a very big part of the culture here.
No, nobody. Everybody talked to me about like the food there being great, right?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I'm looking forward the most, right? After, you know, besides playing baseball, like I'm looking forward to embrace the culture, to like, you know, be in the city, like trying different food, like different restaurants and stuff like that. Cause I'm a foodie, man. I love food. So I'm looking forward to being in the city, you know, going to restaurants and stuff.
Willie, you're a delight to talk to, man. Well, welcome to the San Francisco Giants. We're really looking forward to watching you play ball.
Sounds good, man. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to, you know, to start the season and, you know, get the boys rolling.
Beautiful, man. Best of luck and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Willie Adames.
Oh, so good.
Everybody, the Giants shortstop, joining us right here on Willard and Dibs. And when we had that conversation earlier, we're not going to lie. Like, I mean, it's just people talking. You got to go out there and hit your 25 or 35 home runs and pick up the ball when they hit it to you and actually be a good team and all of that. But, like, that right there, to me, was such a sound for sore ears. It's what we've been waiting for so long, which is somebody who has the talent and the personality and the ability to maybe actually connect with the fan base. And after that conversation, I feel even better about Willie's opportunity to do that.
I feel great about the opportunity and about the personality that he brings and the work ethic. And, you know, he played 161 games last year, and the only game that he missed was based on the manager telling him that you need to not play. So a guy who wants to go out there and play every day, he's got the personality. He's here for, 7 years, Mark? I think the contract is a seven-year deal.
182.
You got Chapman next to him for at least three, hopefully longer. So you're starting to really get some cornerstones. It feels like this will be a team where you can rely on a lineup. And I know that the lineup for tomorrow is already kind of out with Jung-Hoo Lee hitting third, right? And Lamont Wade is going to lead off.
Don't think Adames is in it, by the way.
Which is fine.
Yeah, of course it is.
I mean, the idea that you're going to have some anchor pieces out there, your third baseman, your shortstop, your center fielder, hopefully your left fielder, maybe your second baseman and your catcher.
Yep.
Platoon it first for now. Maybe your phenom comes up later. Right field feels a little platoony right now. Maybe DH is a question mark, but you do have a lot of like anchor pieces, guys who you can bank on who will be in the lineup every day.
Yeah, that's the hope, and obviously you need to be blessed with health and all that stuff, but I just think, look, it's not going to be a one-year fix, but what they've done so far, if you match it up with what Giants fans have been asking for, which is, can you give us some star power? Can you give us some people who will play every day? Can you give us a professional-looking version of baseball? I think you at least right now can see the method to what they're trying to do. You can put a green check by some of those things. I don't know if any of them are going to come out and actually have star power. But if Willie hits 30 home runs this year and anchors shortstop and plays north of 150 games and has this personality to boot, and then the team plays well, I think there's some jerseys that you can now purchase.
No doubt. And he's rocking number two with the Giants, which has been a little bit of a wasteland. I was looking at the historical run of players who have worn number two, and I know you're not big on numbers, and numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers, but one guy you'll remember who wore number two is Randy Winn.
Oh,
and Emmanuel Burris wore number two. I think he wore it during the World Series run. I know he wasn't on all the teams, but other than that, it's been a long line of kind of who's who. Kurt Casale, Jorge Soler, the most recent Giant to rock the deuce.
I cannot believe that these guys wore number two. Like, I mean, I know everyone you're talking about. I had no idea that any of them were wearing number two. I don't know how many Giants right now I could tell you what number they wear.
Right. You'd be hard-pressed.
I mean, I can go back.
Like Jung-Hoo Lee.
No clue.
51.
All right.
In honor of Ichiro.
All right.
Which is, I don't know if it's in honor of, but I think
it is. Oh, that's right. I was the one last year who said, why don't they change the name of center field to Area 51?
Yep.
I wanted to do that.
I'm having crazy deja vu right now.
Over what?
If you can't name any of these jersey numbers after we did this segment.
We did this segment
like
already.
Weeks ago.
I still don't know. I don't know any of their numbers.
And Lucas, this is not the way he processes sports.
I know.
Guru and Chasky can tell you every uniform, different set, and all the fits that they have.
Sure. I sit here and I know the ones when I was a kid because I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then I know some of the ones from when the Giants were really good and they were winning World Series. I could tell you Buster's number, Timmy's number, Mad Bum's number. Anybody today? Yeah, I don't think so. I do not think that there's... Yeah, I'm like going around the diamond right now. Webb? Feel like there might be a six
in it.
It's a tough one. Yeah, is there a six
there
in it? Is he 62?
Atta boy.
I bet.
Oh,
there you
God.
Go. Atta
thank
bet.
Goodness.
Yeah. Justin Verlander.
New. Wow, he's wearing Brandon Crawford's number.
Which is?
35.
Okay. Right. There you go. Stay hot, kiddo. Stay hot. What about...
The answer's no.
Spencer Bivens.
Is he on the team?
76,
who are you?
Yeah.
Oh, Spencer Bivens.
Patrick Bailey?
Yeah, that's a good one.
No. No idea. 16.
14. Mm-hmm. Not bad.
All right.
And
I overbid.
Yeah. Yeah. Casey, that ball got Schmidt on. He wears 10, of course.
How about Yaz? Yaz has been here for a little while.
Yeah, he has been here for a little while.
That's your guy, too.
Yep. I love me some Yaz.
Yep.
Hang on.
Close your eyes.
Same number as Kevon Looney, I believe.
Same number that Pat Burrell used to wear.
Oh, jeez.
Ryan Terrio wore it.
We gave you a way to remember Looney's number.
The cat-owning Matt Duffy wore it. Ray Durham actually wore it. Tsuyoshi Shinjo rocked this number.
Is it number 8?
Baron Davis's number?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got nothing.
The Loonies had a song talking about chipping in on some weed with your friends. I got blank on it.
There's no way.
Number 5.
Thank you.
I got 5 on it. I got that.
Yeah.
That's Yaz wears 5?
Right. In honor of the Loonies and that whole idea.
I had no
and
idea.
Come on, Looney.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, there you go.
You could lie to me, and I would be like, oh, all right, he wears 78. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Okay.
All right. Hey, guess who's on the phone?
Hey!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's our Friday afternoon call from Kurt Hayward Hills. Kurt, what are you doing?
Hey! There's the boys! Hey! The best boys in the Bay Area. Now you're talking, boys. Now you're talking.
We sure are.
We've been waiting for you, Kurt.
Did I hear Green say that we're going to win a championship?
You did.
I did, huh?
You
well,
did.
Let me tell you something about. Let me tell you something about Green stating that. But he's got a point there. Why do you think they brought Jimmy in? Jimmy's never won a championship. That's number one. So he's hungry. So Jimmy's hungry. They got Curry, the greatest shooter in the world, and he's not getting any old time soon. And you got Green, the best player in the league, and you got a bench. They got a shot at it, but I don't know if it's this year, fellas. We need to move up in the playoffs. We need to get the number 6. I think we're going to get the number 6. I don't see, like I said, Green, Curry, and Jimmy on the floor together. You start Brandon. And you get Kuminga back. You put Muzi maybe at the starter. And you keep what's his name on the bench. He's not a starter. You got a good chance.
You talking about Buddy Hield? Kurt, are you talking about Buddy Hield?
Yeah, come on. Did you see what he did? He missed 7 in a row in the 3-point. I don't think anybody in NBA history missed 7 in a row.
No, I know. But he also tied the all-time record for points in a round in the first round.
Listen, my friend, this guy is not somebody that's going to bring you to a championship. He belongs on the bench. He's not a starter, and that's the bottom line. I don't think he's not good for us at all. We got a lot of great players we should put in there besides him. And as far as the 3 games coming up, now, since Green said that, well, this is where he's got to prove his words. They have to, in my opinion, win the next 3. If you win the next three, then I could see maybe you got a shot going to number six or seven. But if you don't win the next three, there's no championship. You got to win the next three. We have not won three in a row since November. Come on with that. Forget about it. We got to win three in a row, fellas.
Why these three, Kurt? Why is everything all centered on these three?
I'm going to tell you why these three. Because if you lose tonight, which Sacramento's beat us five times in a row, and that's a bunch of crap, and they're not going to win tonight, that's for sure. And you got to beat Dallas because Iguodala's day. Hey, there's our boy.
Yeah.
Iguodala. That's our boy, man. What a tremendous player he was. He brought his championship, and he won the MVP, and he is awesome. So you got to win Sunday because it's his day. So you got to win the next three. Bottom line, if you win the next three, then you're telling me that this team could make a big move. And if we win the next two, we'll jump in front of Sacramento. We'll jump in front of Dallas. We'll move them up maybe to eight or nine. And I got them going at number six. I think we can make number six, fellas. That's what I think. We can make number six.
Okay.
You got Curry.
So, Kurt, what do you say about the play-in tournament right now? What if somebody was like, come on, Warriors can come out of the play-in tournament. What would you say? That's our guy. Curtin Hayward Hills. He says forget about the play-in tournament. Warriors are heading for number six.
Yeah, it's pretty.
But if they don't win the next three, then you can forget about that too.
Forget about the whole thing.
Call it off.
Well, even if you do win the next three, and then you're 31-27, it feels like you've got a little bit of momentum. But the six is still going to be a tall order. And if 46 wins get you the six, that means you would need to go 18-9 the rest of the way. Yep. Minimum 18-9. So winning the next three would be a good step in that direction, guys. My two boys.
Thank you, Kurt. All right, we'll keep going on the calls in just a sec. 888-957-9570. But the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go live to the other room where Mark Grandy is standing by with this quiz on the Golden State Warriors. Grandy, what do you have for us?
We got a starting lineup tonight.
Hey!
I want you guys to... we got Warriors basketball back in action.
That's
after
all
the
boys.
All-Star break. How about
all
that?
Right. Five boys, let's the Golden State
five
Warriors.
Five boys on town. Sacramento.
Game tips off at 7. We have a starting five announced by Steve Kerr pregame. Would you guys like to take a guess at who the starting five is?
I feel very confident, in fact, who the starting five is.
All right.
I feel very confident.
I think Steph is in it.
Steph? Cosign. Yeah. I think that Jimmy Butler's in it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. How do you feel about Draymond Green?
Get in here.
Draymond Green.
He's in.
All right.
All right, 3 out of 5.
Now, here are the two tough ones. I know who I want to go with. Do you know firmly who you want to go with?
Andrew Wiggins.
No, not Andrew Wiggins. No.
Damn it.
I will say that Brandon Pajemski.
Yeah.
And
I think that they're going to play the stretch five, the big kid with the smooth, silky three ball.
That's a no from me, dog.
Okay.
Go ahead, say it.
Quentin Post. Then they got to go with the kid from UCLA. He's been there for years. He's a sturdy pick setter, Kevon Looney.
That's a no from me, dog.
They got to play the three-point shooter who missed 7 in a row at the All-Star contest, Buster Hield.
That's a no from me, dog.
Maybe they're going to dust off the kid from Indiana, the old center, Trace Jackson Davis, and give
him a
chance.
No from me, dog.
Maybe they go to the defensive. I'm going through the whole thing.
I already know who it is.
It's got to be the stretch four, Moses Moody.
It's Moses Moody. There it is. Yeah, it's Moses Moody.
What did he call him? Moses, I think?
He called him Moosey, I think.
Moosey.
Good job, Dibs. You got there.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to run through some cards.
By the way, that's the starting lineup.
Going forward.
Yeah, that's the starting lineup.
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe it changes when Kuminga comes back, but I bet it doesn't.
Steve Kerr said pregame, it's their best two-way lineup, and he said, quote, we lack size but have brain power.
Yep. Okay. I agree with him. I think that's your lineup right now, and Moody's ability to knock down the three makes a lot more sense. They've talked about how 27-game stretch, you're going to have to be okay with Draymond Green playing some five. There's your starting center, Draymond Green. And I think he's going to be that way for a while, maybe the whole way.
Well, that's what Steve told us yesterday when he joined us here on Willard and Dibbs. He talked about how with just 27 games to go, he feels okay with, you know, stressing Draymond and pressing the issue and having him play the five a lot more.
Steve Kerr yesterday with us.
Well, it's a lot easier with 27 games left to commit to Draymond at the five than it is, you know, with a full season ahead of you. So I think now where we are in the season, you know, where we are in the standings, I have no reservations in terms of playing Draymond at the five to start games. And he'll still see time at the four during the game. And so it's not going to be his full 30 minutes playing at the five. But I'm confident that, you know, for these last couple of months, he can play plenty of five for us.
Yeah, it's a buckle up, man. Yep, it's going to be hard, but, you know, you got to do hard things. What the Warriors have set up for themselves is that they're going to have to do something hard here. So Draymond may not love it, but Jimmy Butler's on the team, and that's going to be his role here for the rest of the
night. It's going to have to be, and it's interesting because we ran a poll on the YouTube page today. What seed do you expect the Warriors to get this season? And 6 seed or better, and 7 to 8 seed are in a dead tie at 42%.
Yep. Which I think actually expresses optimism.
For sure.
Because both, you know, those are the areas from which you can do some damage, and both of them are going to call for the Warriors to play really well the rest of the way.
To get the 6, you're going to have to be better than the Clippers. Right now, the Clippers are on pace to win 46. They hold the tiebreaker over you. So if the Clippers hold form, you'll need 47 wins to get by the Clippers because they've beaten you all 3 times, which would mean you got to win 19 of these babies. 19-8.
Yep.
I'm sorry, 18 wins would get you to 40. Yeah. No, 19 wins, I'm sorry, would get you to 47.
It's doable.
It's a big ask.
It's doable, though. 888-957-9570. More of your phone calls as we head toward Warriors Live. We're sponsored by Frontier Ford. Frontier Ford is bringing you huge savings, huge discounts on the new 2025 F-150, and every Mach-E, which now comes with the Ford Power Promise, including a free Ford charge station, pro installation. Don't miss out. Visit Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek Boulevard in Santa Clara or frontierford.com. This is Willard and Dibbs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Slam dunk in Vegas, okay? Travel and accommodations for 4. You plus 3 guests. Pick anybody you want to bring, but they better be good, because listen to what happens when you get there. You land and you get $20,000. Nope, you don't have to win anything at a table. You just get $20,000. And you're going to stay at Circa. Circa Resort and Casino, which is the premium sports viewing spot in all of Vegas. Have you ever been to Stadium Swim, where you could check it all out from any one of their pools? It's beautiful. It's the ultimate viewing experience for the college basketball championship. And winning is very easy. All you have to do is listen. Listen on the Odyssey app, the free Odyssey app. Download it, log in, listen for a minimum of an hour each day. And every time you do that, your daily entry is in. It is a national contest. Download the Odyssey app now. You could be headed to Vegas in March with $20,000. And March is coming like a damn freight train.
Yep.
It's a week from tomorrow.
That's right. Gonna be here. Yep. And then you can start watching college basketball. We've got tournament action coming up, I think, in less than a week.
Good Lord.
Some of these conference tournaments.
Good Lord.
You know I get excited for that stuff.
We got a quote from Jerry Stackhouse that we haven't gotten to yet today, which we will in a minute because, damn, it is interesting. And the Warriors are back in action in just over an hour. And Grandy is going to take you all the way there on Warriors Live. No? Are you not doing
Evan Giddings.
Is it Evan tonight?
Evan's tonight. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Did I not write that on your
read? Yeah, it's not on the
fault.
Oh, no.
It's okay. It's okay. I just wanted, the only reason I didn't want to like call you out, I was like, am I going crazy? Because I just, like, I checked.
Yeah.
I looked ahead. I'm like, who's doing it?
Yeah.
And
I would have assumed, but I just bumped into Evan and we had a little chit chat.
My fault.
All good. It's all good. So Evan's going to do it. Evan's going to take you there. Warriors are in Sacramento. The Kings are adorable. The Beam, we're going to not light it, all that stuff. Okay. But let's go to Hub on 37, which is a good place to be, by the way. What's up, Hub? Thanks for calling.
I don't know if it's a good place to be. Traffic's pretty gnarly right now.
But you're in a pretty cool area of the country. Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
California, baby. Great show, guys. This is awesome Friday because we get to listen to you and then head into a broadcast of a Warriors game. So it takes me home on the long drive on a Friday. So,
let's go, Hub.
I guess the point I wanted to bring up was I think there's two sides of the spectrum to look at with the Warriors. I mean, Dibs, you said 18-9, maybe 20-7 is kind of the target if that's possible. But looking at it from the other side, it's like studying what do these other teams need to do with their records for us to kind of jump up the standings and the numbers. And Matt, Dibs, you're pretty good at math. I think it's a cool conversation just to figure out like what teams need to do what and when. I've been thinking about this all day and trying to look, you know, what those records would need to be. I know it's kind of like playing it from both sides where, you know, you're refreshing your bank account to see if the balance changes, knowing no money's coming in, it doesn't change. But we have to kind of look at the other side, I think. And so it's two sides. And also Dibs, you were a referee when I was playing in high school and elementary school. You're a great ref. Really appreciate you reffing all those games. I'm about 45 years old, so that was back in the day.
Yeah, boy. Thank you for saying that. I'm still doing it. I've got a sextuple header at Hamilton Gym tomorrow. I got six games. It's a six-pack. Using English words.
No,
here.
I know. Yeah, you did fine.
And that's what it is.
Just caught me off guard.
Little six pack tomorrow. Yeah. So still doing it. And yeah, makes sense. If he's 45, that would have put me at about 25 when he was 10. So yeah, that was early peak days of your boy doing Saturdays and Sundays. Damn. But as for the math,
let's talk math.
Historically, 46 wins has been about the number for the 6 seed, and I know last year was different. They had 46 wins and they were the 10 seed, but if 46 is the target, that would mean you need 18 more wins, but the little wrinkle in here is you do have to be better than the Clippers, and the Clippers own the tiebreaker over you. So even if 46 is the number, the Clippers have 31, so you'd be asking them to go 15 and 12 the rest of the way in order for you to tie them.
Which is realistic.
It is, but it feels like the Clippers are going to be better than that. So, you know, for me, the six might be a little bit tall cotton unless you really go on a big-time heater.
Yeah, I think you do. You have to go on a big-time heater. You have to hope that these teams all kind of cool off. I think Minnesota will do their part. Minnesota is very topsy-turvy and back and forth and has injuries. We've all talked about what we think about Dallas and Sacramento, both down a star, and the Mavericks now missing Anthony Davis. We'll see. The Warriors will have a hand in that in these next two games where they can actually personally help themselves along with those two matchups. But, yeah, way. The Clippers are the one. I've said this before. I think they're going to be the seven. And if you offered me the seven right now, I'd take it. I would take that in a heartbeat. And what the seven offers you, for those of you still not familiar with that, is first and foremost, you're going to get a game. You get two chances to get in the playoffs, and everything would be at home. But if you get that first game that you play, you are the seven. And right now, that may end up with Denver. I do. In fact, I would predict
it does.
It's
Denver right now, yeah.
It's Denver right now in this moment, and Memphis is losing again in Orlando tonight, by the way. Mm. Although, long way to go in that game. But they lost last night, and they're losing again tonight. And so I do think it's going to be Denver. But the hope would be it would be Memphis. If you could get the seven seed and play Memphis, to me, that's the best you could do right now as the Warriors.
Agreed. Yeah. And for me, it's about avoiding being the eight and facing OKC. I think that Oklahoma City is going to have a chance to rest up. They're going to have a cushion going into the playoffs. They're young. They're athletic. And I know that you've gotten them a couple of times this year, and you did the same last year. But that, for me, is a bad matchup. Denver's not a good matchup either, but... You know, beggars can't be choosers.
That's a good
point. You're fighting for a playoff spot, you're going to get who you get.
Yeah, and by the way, if you get in the playoffs, newsflash, the other teams are going to be good. If you want to go do something, you're going to have to beat some good teams. So I know all this matchup stuff, like avoid Denver, OKC, and the Lakers, you're not going to. You're not going to move through the playoffs and avoid the other best teams. If you don't get them in round one, you're going to get them in round two.
Exactly.
You know, so anyway... How's this one grab you before we hand it off to Evan? Jerry Stackhouse, who immediately upon coming in as an assistant coach for the Warriors, was kind of labeled the defensive guru. And Draymond Green specifically really like pointed to Stack and was like, this guy, remember at the beginning of the year when they were playing great defense, and everyone's like, Stack, man, he's got us going. And then it's waned a little bit. They're still a solid defensive team. But he was quoted... I think this is interesting, not just what he said, but that he said it. He was quoted in talking about Andrew Wiggins, and listen to this. Quote, I personally didn't think he was great against the other team's best player. He was better against those next guys. We'd throw him on the top player sometimes because of the reputation of what he did in 2022 and whatnot. But I saw separation. How's that grab you?
I mean, he would know. Guy's an NBA player. Now he's gone on to be a good NBA assistant coach. So if he's seeing Andrew Wiggins playing defense at a lesser level than what we're used to, I take him at his word. I don't think that he would just rat-a-tat-tat and, you know, have Andrew catch a couple of strays on his way out the building unless it's something that he really firmly believed. And I'd have to go back and look at the tape, but it seemed to me that Wiggins was still playing very good defense, but I take his words at face value. If that's what he thinks, then that's certainly part of why the Warriors have not been elite this year defensively.
And well, I guess my next question would be, and so what about now? Is Jimmy Butler going to handle that role? And is he better at it at age 35? I know he's got a pretty good defensive reputation, but like, has that been fixed? Or are the Warriors still lacking in terms of having a wing that can take on the best player on the other team?
I think they're still lacking. And they're also lacking a guard who can defend at the point of attack against guys like, for example, Kyrie Irving, who gashed them in that game a couple of weeks ago.
All right, man, here we go. Here we go.
Let's do it.
Here we go. The Kings and Warriors in an hour is coming up, and it's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Evan Gidding standing by with Warriors Live. Very good week. Thank you all for your interaction. The guests were fantastic, from Steve Kerr to Willie Adames, Will Clark, and many, many more. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I'm refereeing.
Okay, Sunday?
It's the Sabbath, Mark. You know I'm a big-time God guy.
All right. How about Monday?
I'm available.
Okay. We're going to pencil that in for Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.